Amen. Take your Bibles, please. Open up. Yes. Amen.
But hopefully with this new medicine, the next couple of months, it'll go
away. Praise the Lord. So it's working already?
Yeah.
Amen. And it's you can feel the effects.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When you're in pain, that stinks. Amen. 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 Take your Bibles, please. And open up to Revelation chapter 19. And we should finish this up. I only have a few verses. Well, maybe a dozen. That's a few. Chapter 19. Let me know when you're there.
Amen.
I want you to look with me in verse 7, please. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him." Why? "For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God." I just want to stop. What we're talking about this morning is what we've been talking about is who is the bride and when is the wedding. And what I'd like to say right now is when is the wedding and where is the wedding? Because I don't want to miss it. Amen. If someone says you're invited to the wedding, I want to know what time it is and where it's at. I want to be there. But as we know that we are the bride of Christ and we are the ones that are going to get married. I love when he says, "Blessed are they that are called to the wedding." And you're coming and you're called to the wedding, but I don't know if it's just a word play or not. But here you're actually in the wedding. It's not you're just a bridegroom. You are the bride itself. What a wonderful thing. But I want you to see here where it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice, for the wife has made herself ready." The wedding here in chapter 19 has not yet happened. It is to happen soon hereafter. So what we're going to look at today is, where is the wedding? Is it in heaven? Is the bride and the groom brought together and have the marriage and the wedding ceremony in heaven? Or is it here on this earth? And that's what I want to talk to you about, because a lot of teaching is that it's in heaven and then he comes back with his bride. And I would be fine with that, but that isn't what I see. So let's look at some scriptures today and let's see where it shall be. First, let's look in Revelation chapter 1, since you're in Revelation chapter 1. And look at me in verse 7. It says, "Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, come Lord Jesus." Here in verse 6, it says, "He has made us kings and priests unto our God." And I just want you to see that in verse 7, it says, "Every eye shall see him." So this is not the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church, nobody's going to see him. He's going to be in the clouds. Trumpet of the Lord shall sound. The voice of the archangel shall call your name. Boom, you should be caught up. Amen. He's coming to get his bride, us, the church, off this earth to allow the wrath of God be poured out on this earth to a time of great testing, a time of great trouble, a time of great tribulation. Amen. That's those 7 years. We talked about last week how a Jewish wedding, how it worked out, where the man would get engaged to the bride by giving the parents a dowry, coming to the parents of the bride and say, "You know, I want to marry your daughter. Here's a gift." And then he would give a gift, a promise to the bride herself. And that is, we know, is like the Holy Spirit of God has given us the earnest of the Spirit. If you've never heard that word earnest, it means down payment. The word earnest means, the earnest of the Spirit means down payment of the Spirit. Kind of like you're on layaway. Amen. We have not received the fullness of the Spirit when it comes to all that we're going to receive. We've received the earnest of the Spirit, the down payment. He has given unto us the sealing of God. You belong to me. Amen. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and we are now sealed with the ring of God, like a marriage. And he seals us, says, "You belong to me." But the marriage has not yet happened, because they called it just like Mary and Joseph. They were engaged. They were espoused. They called her his, They called him her husband, her his wife, even though they didn't have the wedding yet. That's the way it was. And then he would do, they'd go away for about a year, just as Jesus went away. And then what would they do? They would prepare a place for this bride. They would prepare a place, and usually what they would do is, not all the time, but when you read about it, they said they would build on to the Father's house. They would add on an addition to the Father's house where they're going to live, and they would make it all completely ready. And once the house was completely ready, the bridegroom would take his best friends and they'd go back to get his wife at midnight, at nighttime. And that's why in Matthew 25, you have the 10 virgins. And he talks all about the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. When they heard the voice of the bridegroom, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh!" They all got ready. They got their lamps. They cut their lamps and they lit their lamps to go out and show him at night, "Here I am." And they're waiting for him. But 5 of them were foolish. They didn't have their oil. They didn't really believe he was coming. And they missed it. They missed out. He came, took the 5 that were wise, and they went into the, shut the door. But then it tells us that there's a 7-day feast, a marriage supper, a feast that they have. Just like if you would read about Samson. And Samson went down to Timnath to get his wife, and they had a whole week feast. And that's where he put forth the riddle and said, "I'll tell you what, if you can answer this riddle, I'll give you 30 garments to all your men," and blah, blah, blah. If you don't know the story, you have to look it up yourself in Judges 13 and 14. But anyway, so it says that they waited the whole 7 days, and at the end of the 7 days, and you can go in John chapter 2 when the marriage at Canaan, when Jesus was called, and his mother, Mary, and his disciples, they were called to the wedding. And it was a whole week-long wedding, and they ran out of wine. You remember that? And Mary came and said, "Jesus, they're out of wine. What are we going to do?" You know, and he said, "Woman, what is it? What do I have to do with you? It's not my hour yet. It's not time for me to start doing miracles yet." But she said the wonderful thing of words of Mary. You can tell all your Catholic friends to listen to Mary, because it's the only time she ever gave a commandment. And she said, "Whatever he says, do it. Whatever Jesus says, do it." That's Mary's command. So all the Catholics who love Mary and want to listen to Mary, tell them, say, "Amen, sister, brother, listen to Mary," and show them right where in John 2, where she said, "Whatever he says, do it." And so therefore we all know how the wedding. So here we have a week-long wedding in heaven, a feast. While the tribulation is going on this earth, there's a feast. But that's not the wedding. The wedding isn't till after the 7 days are up. When I say the wedding, I mean the consummation, the actual real marriage. So that, where is that going to take place? That is going to take place, I believe, on earth. And let me show you why I believe that. Look with me, if you would, in Matthew 24. Who said amen? That was quick. Matthew 24. If you look at me in verse 30. It says, oh, okay, this is a different verse that I was looking at, but that's okay. It says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Now, the reason I'm saying this is because before he comes back to this earth, he has another rapture. He takes off the people that were on the earth during the 7-year tribulation. You say, "You mean to tell me there's going to be people saved?" Yes. God's whole plan is for everyone to be saved. God wants everyone to be saved. So right now, he has a whole bunch of his people, millions and millions and millions of born again, spirit-filled Christians, you know why we're called Christians? Because we're supposed to be little Christs. We're supposed to be little lights. We're supposed to be little preaching the gospels. Jesus said, "I must preach the gospel." And then he told you, "You go and preach the gospel to whom? every creature. Just preach it everywhere. If you're sitting in at a bus stop and there's nobody around, preach to the ants. Amen. Just start preaching and just start talking. You say, but no one's around to listen. The birds are listening. Amen. Little birds listening on your conversations. Just start preaching the gospel, teaching the gospel. I guarantee you, wherever you're at, even in the woods deer hunting. One time I was up. Well, most of the time I'm not up. I'm sitting down. I don't have really a lot of tree stands, but I'm sitting there and I'm freezing and I'm just praying. And I just started talking to the Lord, but I started talking out loud, which you shouldn't do. You're supposed to be quiet. And I just started talking out loud to the Lord and worshiping Him and praising Him and just talking to Him and how great He was and how, man, I'll tell you what, I'm up here for a week. I hope that I can run into somebody, give them the gospel. I'm talking to God. Next thing you know, I hear all this crashing. I get my gun. I'm ready to look. But up here, it's a hunter walking up to me. I'm like, what's he doing? It was like 8 o'clock in the morning. It's a time nobody's supposed to be out walking around. And he says, I'm lost. You know where I'm? My trail was over here and I got lost. And I said, hi, buddy, I don't know where you're at. And all of a sudden God said, he's lost. And I said, yeah, well, you know what? Jesus can find you. And I started preaching to him a little bit. He didn't want to stick around too much after that, but we did. I did get to preach to somebody. Even when up in the middle of the mountains, I thought, you just start preaching the gospel, God will send people your way. Amen. Don't know why I got stuck on that too long. But look with me if you would in Mark chapter 14. Mark 14. I believe that. What I just said, I totally believe. If you're home alone and nobody's there, you start preaching. I'm not talking about in your head. Out loud. Start preaching the gospel. Guess what? Phone will ring. Someone will knock on the door. That's the way God works. God says, I hear you preaching the gospel. I'm going to send somebody your way. The worst part is we'll preach the gospel when nobody's around. And as soon as somebody shows up, we'll shut up. You know what I mean? It's like God's like, yo, what are you doing, man? All right, look at me in Mark. What did I tell you, 14? Look in verse 25 with me. It's a great verse. I want you to mark this verse. Jesus is speaking. He says, verily I say unto you, I will drink no more the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. You see, he's talking about having the Lord's Supper, communion. He's talking about Passover. He's talking about the feast. He's talking about having the supper. And what we know is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said, just told them, he said, you know what? This is the last time I'm going to have it with you. I'm not going to have it again until I come back and I have it new with you in the kingdom of God. So we know that that is going to be here on this earth. Look with me, if you would, to Luke 22. Look in Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 18. We'll start in 15. I'm sorry. Look in verse 15. It says, and he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. I want you to know that God, that he is looking forward to the kingdom coming on this earth. You know our prayer, our Father, which art in where? Heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Do what? What's he praying? Thy kingdom come. Come where? Here. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Where? In this earth as it is in heaven. That's the everyday daily prayer that people pray all over the place and they don't even know what they're saying. They don't even know they're asking God, come to this earth, set up your kingdom. Do you realize that when every fairy tale you've ever seen, every Disney little princess fairy tale, whenever they get married, it's always at the end of the story. You know what I mean? It's always at the end of the story and they have the big wedding and it's all, everybody lived happily ever after. You know where they get that from, don't you? They get it from the Bible because the king is coming and when he has the wedding, it's going to be when he comes to this earth, when he receives his kingdom. And when he gets his kingdom, then he's going to have his bride and it's going to be an amazing ceremony and it's going to be in front of people too. Because not everybody's the bride. You know that, don't you? And it's a very special thing to be the bride. I'll tell you right now. Look with me if you would in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Look in verse 11. Great verse here. Great verse. And then Then wait till you go to Luke 12 and see that. In Matthew 8:11, it says, "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." That means Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I believe, are going to be part of the bride. I believe they already are because they're with the Lord in heaven right now. And they're awaiting. They're awaiting the resurrection. They're awaiting the gathering together unto him. They're all waiting for that day. Look in Luke chapter 12. This is a cool verse. This verse gets me a little fired up. Luke chapter 12. Are you there? Look in verse 37. Look what Jesus says here. He says, Luke 12, 37 says, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching." Look what he says. "Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat." And what else, Lord? "And I will come forth and serve them." Woo, man! In the kingdom of this glorious, wonderful wedding, he is going to have us all sit down and he's going to serve us. Just like he did his 12 of servants when he caught up and he girded himself and he went and served them to wash their feet. And Peter said, "No way, you're washing my stinky toes." And he said, "Well, Pete, if I don't wash your feet, I have nothing to do with you." And he said, "Okay, wash my head too, wash my hair." He said, "No, your feet's enough, Peter." And here my point is that Jesus is going to get up and he's going to serve us. He's going to serve us. We are going to sit down. You want to know why? Why is that? You know why? Because we've been serving him all these years. We've been serving him day in, day out. Our desire has been to him. We've been good. We've been really good. I was going to say, what's the word for engaged bride? We've been really good bride. In the engagement, we're waiting for him. And what are we doing while we're waiting? We're serving him. We're loving on him and praising him and telling everybody about him. We're washing other people's feet. And we're taking all the brunt of the jokes. And we're taking the tribulations and the trials and being a Christian. We're taking all for him, because he's our God. He's our King. He's our Prince in shining armor. And we love him. And there's nothing we wouldn't do for him. And we've come to church when it's hot. We'll come to church when it's cold. We'll go witness no matter what. Well, maybe. Maybe not all. But guess what? All of us can get there, amen? We can jump on that train right now. And we can jump on that Jesus train and get on the wagon, as they say. You know, they say, get on the bandwagon when a team's doing good. Oh, then I'll be a fan. How about being a fan of your Savior now? How about being a fan of your husband now? How about being a good wife now? How about serving him now? Because when he comes, he knows all the work that you've done. And he's going to say, "Sit down now. I'm going to serve you." Woo, man, it gets excited. It even gets a little bit better. You ready? You got to hear this. Look in Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62. And then from there, we're going to go to Zephaniah. I know you probably never even heard of Zephaniah. You should have. But right after that, we're going to go to Zephaniah. And look in Isaiah 62. Let me know when you're there. Look in verse 5. Isaiah 62:5 says, "For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee." Now I'm telling you, that might not mean nuts to you. But when I put together, he can't wait. He's desiring to have this supper with us. He's going to have us sit down. He's going to serve us. He's going to rejoice over us. He is going to rejoice over us just like a husband would his beautiful bride. You got to remember, virgin bride. I'll tell you what, we don't know what it's like much to be pure. Because unfortunately, we've been defiled most of our lives. But there are a lot of good, godly young men and women that have not been defiled, being raised in the home, it being raised in the church, that the mothers are teaching their children to abstain. They're teaching their children what's right and wrong. Their children are waiting until marriage. I'll tell you what, I'll be honest with you, I never liked marriages. Never. When I had to go to marriage, I hate it. When a wedding, I hate it. The only thing I kept thinking was, I hope the food's good. I'm not kidding you. But about 20-some years ago, I don't know exactly, 25 years ago or something, when I went to Southside Baptist Church, they had a lot of teenagers there. And my daughters were teenagers at the time, and these teenagers were raised in Christian homes, right, Fran? And they were good, godly children. And I all of a sudden was there when they started to get old enough to get married, 18, 19, 20, young. And I knew them since they were little, and I watched them come down the aisle, and I watched them come up to meet their bridegroom. And some of them even started singing a song in front of everybody. And when I saw the purity and the holiness, I cried like a baby. I've never cried, didn't care. I cried like a baby. Now I cry even when I'm marrying other people. When I start to say the vows, and I start to think about how holy this is, and how beautiful this is, and how intimate and how wonderful this is, I'm tired. I get choked up and I start crying. I got to do everything to try to not hold back the tears when I'm trying to perform a wedding. Because I'm sitting there in front of two people and I realize the beauty and the power and the love, and man, it's good. And I think about how pure and holy it is for God, because he says that we, through the blood of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit of God, he has sanctified us and purified us and made us whole. Isn't it great to know that God never thinks about you as being defiled? He never thinks about you as being dirty. He never thinks about you. He thinks about you as being a chaste virgin, the Bible says, pure. Why? Because my heart is for one Lord. My God, my mind, my spirit, my soul, my prayer, everything, my being, who I am, is for him, and I can't wait for him to come back. And I love him. I keep myself for him, only to him. I don't worship other gods. I don't worship man or money or anything else. I just think of him, and I can't wait. That I love him. And in his eyes, I am a virgin, pure and holy, because I keep myself for him and him alone. I'll tell you, he's excited, and I'm excited, and it's going to be an amazing day. And he's not only going to serve us, he's going to rejoice over us. What does that mean? Look in Zephaniah with me, chapter 3. Zephaniah is right before Haggai, Micah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. What? Habakkuk, yeah, that's right. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, and then you run into Zephaniah. If you're there, say amen. Good. Look with me, if you would, in chapter 3. Love this verse. You all there? Look in verse 17. It says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty." Now stop for a second. We're seated down in the kingdom. I say in Jerusalem. We're seated at the kingdom. The king is on his throne. He gets up. He makes us sit down. He's serving us. Whatever it is he's serving, Matt, it's going to be good, brother. Man, I can just imagine Jesus cooking. You know, it's going to be better than yours, Tony. It's going to be some anointed, amazing food. Sits down, he's rejoicing over us. He's in the midst of us, and it says, and he is mighty. Think about the mighty, almighty, holy God with all his glory there for us. And look what he says. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in thee with love. He will joy over thee with singing. He's going to sing for us. He's going to sing over us. Hold on. I'm like a little schoolgirl. I can't believe it. He's going to sing over us. He's going to serve us. Rejoice over us. And he's going to sing. Man, I thought Bob had a good voice. I can imagine Jesus' voice. Amen is right. Not like Bob's. Not like mine. Or not like any of you. Amen. It's going to be the most beautiful voice you've ever heard in your entire life. It's going to be absolutely beautiful. And he's going to serve us. I wonder if he's going to wash our feet. I don't know. But I know he's going to serve us. He's going to rejoice over us. And he's going to sing in his kingdom on this earth at the marriage. And I'll tell you right now, it's one of the things that I look forward to the most. You don't think about it often, but I want you to think about it. He wants you to think about it. Can you keep yourself pure for him? Is he worth you being pure? Amen. Is he worth it?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? If you don't understand how worth it he is, if you don't know why you should sanctify yourself, if you don't know why you should keep yourself pure, keep yourself holy. That's why the devil is filthy, disgusting, and evil, because he wants to pollute your mind with evil. He wants dirtiness to get in there, and sex, and violence, and evil, and anger, and lusts, and all these filthiness that defiles the flesh, amen, defiles the soul. The devil wants to get in there. Why? Because he wants to mess up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords' wedding. Well, guess what? He ain't going to do it, buddy. He's not going to do it because I'm keeping myself pure. I don't know about you, but I'm keeping myself excited. Jesus is excited to meet me? Are you kidding me? When he gives me a glorified body, he better give me a glorified face. I want to smile like ravens, amen. I want to look good for him. I want to look like Kira. Sorry, Kira. She's not here. I'm not embarrassing her. You look beautiful. I love my granddaughter. I think she's beautiful. Look in the eyes of an innocent child. Anyway, let's move on. Look with me, if you would, in Revelation 19 again. That excites me. He's going to sing? He's going to cook? He's going to serve me? Are you serious? Man, I tell you what, I'm getting a little, I feel pretty good now. Amen. Look in chapter 19, look in verse 7 with me, when it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Why? What's he waiting for? His wife's made herself ready finally. His wife's finally made herself ready. When are you going to do it? When are you going to make yourself ready? When is this going to be more important than you? When is this going to be more important than your problems? When is this going to be more important than your job? More important than your vacation? More important than your children? When is this? See, because your children, no matter how you are, your children have got to make themselves ready too. Because it's not a group, well, my house. No, it's each individual person. And I'm here to tell you right now, I, for one, am glad that this says this in the book. Because it opens my eyes, it opens my ears, it makes me think about that day, my wedding day. And everything else that we've taken place in our life, in the history of man, is just getting us ready for that day. And God can't wait, and I can't wait. And I want you to get yourself ready. Look what it says. It says, and to her will be granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. Now, who's he talking to? Who's John? John at this time talking to? Who's been talking to him this whole time? That's what it says. It says an angel. But look what it says. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren and have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I just want you to think about this, is that the angel that he's speaking to loves Jesus too. The angel that he's speaking to knows Jesus and loves him and worships him and serves him and obeys him. It goes on to say, and I saw in heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he does judge and do what? Make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's us, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. We just got it. And you just read it where it says he's going to clothe us in fine linen, white and clean. We're following him, our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, our Master Supreme, our husband. Man, I just can picture coming out of the heaven on these white horses, we're riding them, and we're dressed in robes of clean and white, glistening, glowing, all made pure by the blood of the Lamb, all given our glorified bodies, all given us our rewards and our glory. Come in, and he's in front of us. Amen. And also, I don't even think of you guys. I'm thinking of me. I'm going, that's my man right there. That's my husband. That's my man. See, you might be able to not get out of your fleshly brain thinking and get in your spiritual brain thinking, because that's what it is. It's all spiritual. It's not like, oh, now I have to become a woman. No, you already are one, all right? You know, spiritually speaking, you are the bride of Christ. Spiritually speaking, Christ was like Eve. Spiritually speaking, the Bible says it, God created Adam, and out of Adam, he took something, he made a woman for a purpose and a reason, to repopulate, replenish the earth. Where's your wife? Oh, she's back there teaching? We were just talking about that, replenish. She asked, no, it was you, Denise, that question. It was a great question on Thursday night. Why does it say replenish? And amen, it's a great question. But that's what we're supposed to be doing. We are the bride of Christ, just like Jesus. Jesus was like God the Father, and Jesus was the woman that he used to birth the church, because the church was born out of Christ. See, all these things, you know, people don't say, well, Jesus is a woman. I actually heard, and I'm sorry, I'm cutting off for a minute, because I hope it helps somebody. There was a man years ago, he actually was going for his doctorate. He was a pastor, and he was going for his doctor's degree, and he told me, and he was talking to church, and he said, I'm going to my doctor's degree, and my thesis is about why Proverbs chapter 8 cannot be Christ. And now, I already have studied that, and I know that it is Christ. I mean, it's without a doubt, it's talking about Jesus. And he said, it can't be. So he's got my ears perked up, and he said, the reason it can't be is because it talks about Christ in a feminine way when it says she and her, and there's no way Jesus is feminine. And I'm thinking, that guy's going to have a doctorate in theology? He doesn't have a clue. He doesn't have a clue, because he's thinking on physical, and he's thinking so male chauvinistic that no way I'm going to be a woman. You know what I mean? It's like, get over yourself, buddy. And that's the problem, is that's called pride. And that's called, you don't understand. And this is talking about the real who you really are. And I'll tell you right now, are you a servant of God, or are you the master of God? Do you tell God what to do, or does God tell you what to do? Are you honestly being obedient to God, or are you kind of telling God, God, I'm going here, I'm going to do this, God, I'm going to do this, God, I want this, you know what I mean? Like, whoa, you're the master now. You expect him to bow before you. I won't even charge you for that. Let's finish up. Revelation chapter 21, we're done in 22. Revelation 21, this is not confusing, but we'll have to talk about it in a later time. It says in verse 1, 21, it says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and behold, there was no more sea. Now the wedding of the Lamb has already come. The feast, the catching away, all of those things have taken place on earth now. Jesus is back on earth. Before the wedding can happen, he comes out riding this white horse, wipes out all the enemies, destroys them completely off the earth, purges the earth of every single devil, casts the devil in a bottomless pit. He is now ruling and reigning as the Prince of Peace. Amen. There is no more wars. There is no more enemies. There is just those who serve God. You know how he did that? Because when he first came down, he gathered all the people that were left, and he separated them as sheep from goats. And on the goats, he put on his left side, said, I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you gave me no water. I was in prison, you didn't visit me. I was sick, you didn't help me. And they're going to say, when? We don't even know who you are. He says, much as you didn't do it to them, you didn't do it to me. And he casts them into hell. Yep. And then he says, on the sheep on the right, he says, I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was naked, you clothed me. And they're going to like, when? We don't even know who you are. He says, much as you did it to one another. That's a spirit of love. That's the spirit of humanity. These are people that didn't even know the gospel, didn't even know Christ, but yet they had the law of God written in their heart to love one another, to care for one another. They had no business in this, and as we talked about on Thursday, do you realize when the Antichrist comes and he sets up the mark, there are going to be millions of people out and living in Jibip land that don't know anything that's going on? You know, if your power goes out, right, it's a big thing to you, isn't it? Amish don't even know what goes out. Amish are like, what are you talking about? It's a normal day. And there's going to be people living out there when nuclear bombs go off or whatever, they won't even know about it. They don't have TV and radio and electricity living out there in Tibet and in jungle land. You know what I'm saying? But yet, what do? They have a law of God in their heart to love one another, care for one another, be there for one another. And if they can do it, you can do it. And if you can do it, I mean, if they can do it without the Spirit, without the Word, without the teachers, without the this, you can do it 10 times more. Can I get an amen? That's all he asks you to do. Love him with all your heart. How much do I love him, Pastor? With everything. Should I love him more? Yeah, but I can't love him more than my own kids. Then you're not worthy of him. But I can't love him more than my own house and my own car. You're not worthy of him. Nothing, nothing on this earth is worthy of his of him. All right, let me finish. 22, verse 17. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The church and Christ are one. They're married. And guess what? They're still inviting people to come. And I'm asking you to come. God's asking you to come. When you say the wedding vows and you say, I do, you enter into a contract, a covenant, a vow. And that's exactly what Christ is asking. Will you trust me? Will you receive me as your Savior? Will you believe in me? And what do we say? I do. I do. And it becomes one, a contract. And these two shall become one. And if you won't do that with Christ, if you won't give your heart to Jesus Christ, something's wrong with you. And maybe you just don't have enough faith and just keep coming to church, keep listening, and maybe your faith will grow. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you. I'm sorry. I hate this clock, Lord. I just hate it that time's out already, but I love you. And I love the people that love you. And I'm just thankful for everyone that's here today. Would you please bless us? Would you fill us with your Spirit? Would you give us love and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost? Would you help us to love one another and be friendly and have joy in thee? Oh God, thank you for our mothers and thank you for the church. And we ask you now, be with the service ahead. Save souls and encourage us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Church will start in, oh boy, let's go with 8 minutes.